Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, just a quick comment here regarding precious metals, gold in particular. Look, April has been a good month for gold, especially when you consider what happened in the last 7 months. And the rebound that we saw in gold did go past the peaks that we saw in March. There are some, technical elements that can be encouraging for investors. However, gold, you can argue, still didn't really break out of its downtrend, at least significantly out of its downtrend. And I'm still hearing a lot of comments about how May could be another tough month for the precious metals and gold in particular. What's your assessment of gold's rebound in April and what it could mean for the moves in May?
Yeah, hi, Corey. Well, with respect to the moves in May, gold, it approached 1800, didn't quite get there. It's pulled back some. You have a measured upside target from the bottoming pattern of 1825. I've also mentioned 1850. Once you look at the weekly and monthly charts, there's significant resistance at 1850 and higher. So I think that's the best case scenario if this rally will continue in May. You know, and if you look at the stocks, GDX and GDXJ, they got pretty close to my, very close to my initial upside targets, but it's possible they could go a little bit higher. I would say keep an eye on silver. That's probably going to be the tell if this rally will continue or not. Of course, we have the Fed. But, you know, big picture, Corey, I still see this market as, after this rally, wherever it ends, it's probably going to grind around for the rest of the year, in my opinion. You know, unless we see a 15 to 20% correction in the stock market, I think risk of that is rising. You know, I think that's it's possible that could happen maybe later in the year, but that needs to happen before gold can get back in vogue. In other words, before more capital will come into the sector and we get a resumption of the bull market in precious metals. But without the stock market correcting, you know, and it's making new highs almost every day, in that scenario, it just you're not going to get new capital coming into the sector. So that's really the overriding big picture right now for precious metals. So that's what we have to look at and focus on the macro picture in that sense, rather than, it broke above this line or it did this here and it's, you know, it was able to do this and, you know, this ratio is broken out. Those things I think are much, much less significant. It's really the big picture. And if the stock market will correct, and that'll get capital back into precious metals. Without that, you're not going to see an impulsive move.
Fair enough. Hey, you're not alone in thinking gold still has a bit of a grinding time in front of it. But I think as long as it can put in a bottom here somewhere and end that just downtrend it's been in for, again, 7+ months. Jordan, what about the moves in base metals, though? Because we continue to see copper running and actually a wide range of base metals that continue to move higher. We're even seeing the continued move higher in uranium stocks. So there are people making money in the resources. Usually we see precious metals bring investors in to the resource sector, and then that money shifts to some of the base metals and other metals outside of the precious metals. Any chance that we could be seeing enough money being made in these other resource sectors that some of that money maybe comes back into the precious metals?
It's possible. I mean, it's going back, I think I'd have to look at history again, but something I looked at a couple of years ago, I think in the mid 70s, you kind of had the other commodities were doing better. And then they kind of, it led to precious metals outperforming again. So that's a possibility, especially if inflation is sticky. And I guess evidence of that would be, you know, copper and these other commodities really holding and digesting their gains. However, you know, you don't have evidence of that even after a week or after a month or after 2 months. Like it takes time for you to really know. But that's a possibility if, you know, tell me where the price of copper is going to be 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now. And if it's hanging around these levels, then yes, that will sit. That's a sign that inflation is sticky. And it's probably a sign that capital at some point is going to start to flow into precious metals. Because to go back to what I just said, if like copper, if these prices, which have almost gone vertical. I mean, if they're sticky, if they maintain most of the gains, that is going to be a signal of inflation being sticky, and it's going to hurt the stock market at some point. But again, it's too early to know if these really strong moves, like another one is lumber, for example, but I think that's probably going to correct significantly. But I mean, if these commodities are holding most of their gains 6 to 9 months from now, that yes, that's a signal that inflation will be sticky, and that definitely will benefit precious metals. But here and now, just in the spring and summer time frame, I'm not sure if that's enough to really pull up precious metals. And because these things have been working, it's going to be hard for the, I mean, they're buying those for different reasons than gold. You know, they're buying those more for kind of reflation, also more so the economic rebound. And there's also, micro fundamentals that matter. Like you have the shutdown in Chile, so that's really driving copper. So it's different than just by itself being an inflation trade.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. But we have seen some very nice moves. And again, there's still money being made in the resource sector. It's just the precious metals, it's been slow and actually down for a lot of the gold companies especially. Now, Jordan, we were talking off mic about when you're looking into companies, either doing initial due diligence or even reading over news releases, you really need to carry a pretty high level of skepticism when you're entering any of these either news releases or even chatting with management, because you do need to understand that management is always, selling a product, which is their company. But really taking that skeptical approach is important. How do you, when you're looking at companies, take that skeptical approach, and what are some of the red flags you look for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I just, with respect to skepticism, you just have to, especially with exploration companies, just assume that everything is BS to begin with and that it's probably not going to work out. Like that's going to serve you best rather than giving them the benefit of the doubt and believing what they're saying. And that's fine, because as humans, we're optimists and we want to believe what people are saying. So I don't view that as like a fault. That's just kind of the natural disposition of humans in general. But we have to be careful, and it's just something, having a BS meter or thinking everything is BS, it's just something I've learned over many years of following and investing in these companies. So that's really the first thing. And I guess, another thing I would say, and I don't mean this to be like an advertisement, because Brent Cook says the same thing, but you need to follow or subscribe to people who have more knowledge in this area. And I mean, and so that, for some people, that means subscribing to someone like me or another newsletter writer you trust, because, they can really help you with respect to following these companies. And they just have more knowledge than you do if you're an average investor. And for me, like I also, I seek out people in the industry who know a lot more than me. So no matter what level of investor you are, you need to seek out people who know more than you and can help you. And, they'll give you more knowledge and you'll learn things, and then you can, you'll be a better investor in the years ahead. But, and also, one thing to be skeptical of with the exploration companies is you see a lot of strength in a stock before they haven't drilled anything. And you see this all the time. And I mean, it's fine because these companies have to market, and, sometimes they get hyped up and they get a following and people buy the stock. But just you have to be really careful, because it happens all the time where these stocks, they really haven't added any value, and they, the stock will make a huge move higher, and then, inevitably, even if they drill somewhat decent holes, it'll sell off significantly, because that's how the market works. So you have to be very careful about following the hype. I mean, it's easy to get sucked into it, but it just happens all the time where you see strong moves in stocks. It's not really supported by, new fundamental developments. It also happens a lot when metals prices are running. So you also have to be careful about that.
So what do you do when you're in a stock and it is moving higher, and sometimes quickly higher on the back of no news? Usually there is some sort of news maybe expected, But do you start trimming positions once it moves up a certain percentage, or do you simply clear out of the stock? What do you do, Jordan?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, it depends on, and I don't mean to dance around the issue, but it really depends on so many factors, like how much has the stock gone up? Because if it's only gone up 30 or 50%, you know, that's not that much, and I might not do anything. But if something has gone up, you know, 100, 200%, and there's no real news there, then yeah, I would probably trim a third or trim a half of it. I mean, that's the only way to play it, because you just don't know. I mean, you want to keep some on the table because it's always possible they could hit something really good and then the run continues. So normally I think trimming is the answer, but just, you know, when something pops like 20% or 30%, for me, I don't do anything. You know, for some people, they might want to take that profit. I mean, for other people, they might want to hold it, even if it hold the whole thing, even if it pops 100%. So it really depends on what you're comfortable with. But you just have to understand that, you know, big moves on no news or little news, they're not sustainable. And so you have to be careful and you have to have a plan in advance. You have to know, okay, if this stock moves here, this is what I'm going to do. So, you know, map out your plan. Figure out what works best for you.
Now, Jordan, when it comes to analyzing your portfolio right now, we've harped on it a number of times that when the market is slow and even when the market is correcting, you need to be analyzing your portfolio, and it's the best time to maybe shift some money into the higher quality stocks in your portfolio before, assuming that this happens, the high quality stocks start to run first. Is that what you're doing right now?
Well, I have not been doing a lot over the past 8 or 9 months or so. I mean, I've had a few small buys here and there, but, you know, I have mentioned which of the companies I think, you know, are ones that are going to be adding a lot of value or have a chance to add value in the next 1 to 2 years. So the bulk of my capital is in those types of companies versus ones where I mean, I have a few that I think it's going to be hard for them to move without the sector moving. But I think moving forward, I mean, this is kind of how I'd look at it. And given that, you know, we anticipate that at some point the sector will have a big move higher. For me, I want to have most of my capital in things which I think can move without metals prices. So when you're looking at companies, remove metals prices from the equation, and that'll be helpful in figuring out which stocks have a chance to move without the sector doing a moonshot, and which ones really need the sector to move so they can moonshot themselves. So I want to have the bulk of my capital right now in companies that I think will receive some buying even without the sector launching. So yes, I favor quality more. And you know, when I think, at some point, if we see the sector moving closer where it looks like it's closer to making that big move higher, that's the point when maybe I would drop my guard a little bit and go into things that I think are more leveraged to the upside in the sector. Yes, I might be giving up a little upside in those names, but there's more names like that that you can go into. I mean, there's always things that you're going to find that are still really cheap when the sector starts moving. And to go back to the quality and the things that can move without metals prices, when metals prices go up, those are going to be the ones that are bought first. They're going to move the biggest, the fastest to begin with. And so that's why I want to be in those, in addition to the fact that they don't need higher metals prices to do well. So that's kind of the strategy I have. You know, focus on quality first. Then when it looks like the sector's close to a real breakout move, that's when you can put more capital into, you could say, things that are lower quality or things that really need the sector to move. So that's how I would look at it. You know, the big takeaway right now, when you're looking at companies, remove metals prices from the equation. And then, you know, you can analyze them one by one without the impact of metals prices. And you'll see which things come out ahead and which things, you know, are really going to be dead money until the sector moves. So that's how I would look at things right now.
Okay. Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. Hope this helps some people kind of navigate the precious metals sector. But again, remember, there are other resource sectors that are running. And I think the big question right now is, will or can that money rotate back into the precious metals, or is it going to be new money coming into the precious metals when they do start to more significantly bounce or start some sort of an uptrend? We'll see what next month holds, though. Jordan, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week.